Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How are you not exhausted? Mentally exhausted from the quadrant of sports insanity that we all witnessed over the last few days. And I will make you this promise. Whether you are a New York Yankee fan, whether you are a New York Jet fan, whether you're a New York Giants fan, whether you're a Mets fan, we get to everything. We serve you throughout the show. The lines are open throughout the show. We hit on everything over the next 5 hours at 888-808-1019. Tiki Barber's got to be exhausted. He just got off a plane from Seattle. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, even though I'm still kind of stuck on rolling down the street, smoking, sipping on gin
and juice.
Yeah. A hell of a commercial.
I like
that Act just gave to us. I would be exhausted, but I'm kind of just jazzed up about the Giants. We've said this for 2.5 years, 2+ years now with Dabes as their head coach. They are just a well-coached team. Now, sometimes they're not good enough because the talent's not great. They get blown out like they did against Minnesota or the Cowboys a year ago. But ultimately, this team is well coached. And calling a game out in Seattle at Lumen Field where everybody's expectation was that they were going to get rolled by a 4-1 team who had just put up 500-plus yards. Geno Smith is leading the league in yards and attempts and completions. The Giants stand no chance. They thoroughly outplayed the Seattle Seahawks.
They kicked their ass
on the road.
They kicked.
The score didn't indicate it. But at halftime, Jason McCourty and Andrew Catalan and I were talking about the feel of the game. We said this game feels like it's 21-0.
It felt that way.
Somehow it was tied.
Yeah.
And that's mostly because of a 101-yard fumble return for a touchdown, Eric Gray. Do not reach the ball at the goal line. And just some circumstantial things that made the game tied. But they thoroughly dominated this game. And if you're a Giant fan, you're not saying we're world beaters now, but you're saying we have a chance in every game we play in because they're well coached and they're starting to feel it. Right? There's something, I don't know, that's permeating throughout that locker room and that team. You feel it when you talk to Dexter Lawrence. You obviously feel it when you see the emotion that Daniel Jones played with.
Yeah.
And I called him a fullback on the broadcast. Like, dude, what are you doing? You're like taking shots. You're aggressive. It's second and long and you go pick up 8 yards, just bulling your way forward. I loved how they fought and played in this game and ultimately won it in one of the most unique ways that you possibly could, blocking a kick and taking it back for a touchdown to seal the game. So I was highly encouraged, and a lot of that credit goes to the coaching. This was one of the best coached games Dabes has ever had.
If you look at the quadrant of sports insanity, I think the most stunning thing we saw this weekend was that.
Yes.
Was the fact that the New York Giants, yes, without Malik Nabers, without Devin Singletary, went into a very tough environment. And I completely agree with you. And I consume this game very differently than Tiki. Tiki was sitting at Lumen's Field. He's watching Giants Seahawks. I literally watched it 9 hours later after I almost got my ass kicked in the city of Philadelphia. But as I watched that game hours after it ended, not knowing the result, by the way, I felt the same way.
Which is impressive, by the way.
Thank you. I don't know how I pulled that off. And here's the impressive part. The Giants did something for the second time this season that shows stones, that shows guts. They took a massive gut punch early in a football game that, let's be honest, Giant fans, even Sean Morris back there was all pumped up. You thought you were dead.
Oh, yeah.
After the kickoff fumble touchdown a play later in Cleveland, you thought you were dead. When Eric Gray on fourth and goal from the one, and how about that, Dabes? Big balls, day balls. I loved it going for it. When Eric Gray tries to stick that football, stick it in, and it gets swatted away, and Rayshon Jenkins goes 101 yards, and then your broadcast, not your fault, decides to go to commercial and leave us waiting, and then comes back and says, oh yeah, they told us, it's a touchdown.
By the way, that's not our fault.
I didn't say it's yours.
The Giants are on a 10-minute drive.
Yes.
You realize when you watch football, there's business that has to take place.
Yeah, I'm at the business.
That is commercials, inventory.
Okay.
It's sold.
Okay.
And we had 10 minutes of straight football.
The business was me smashing my TV if you played another commercial there.
I'm not mad at you. We're not mad at anyone. We're mad at the situation that we were put in that spot. But when Rayshon Jenkins ends up in the end zone and it is said, fumble and a touchdown, Giant fan, you thought you were dead. And for the second time this season, like the Undertaker sitting up in the casket, I think what really impressed me about this football team, and remember, they had a 3-and-out right after.
Right.
So they get the ball back. They're down 7-0. They just had this long-ass drive. Now they get the ball again, and they go quick 3-and-out. But the defense responded. Then when they got the ball back again, they marched down the field. Wan'Dale Robinson's in the end zone. And I think from that point on, you're right, Tiki. They were the far better team, but I thought they showed a lot of guts responding to that kind of gut punch.
And again, that's guys stepping up. It's Tyrone Tracy stepping up. It's Darius Slayton, who, you know, is a good receiver and his longest tenured wide receiver here, been with Daniel Jones since his rookie season, who is now forced to be the primary guy. Goes for over 100 yards because he's running now the Malik Nabers routes, the overs and the goes and all those things. And everybody who needed to step up, stepped up. And you can't not laud them for it, because there is one thing that I think I'm trying to think if most, if not all of these guys have not experienced the 12th man in Seattle.
Mm.
And we mentioned it a few times on the broadcast. That is truly one of the loudest environments you'll ever see in the NFL.
It's the second loudest environment of the weekend, though, by the way. All right, you were number two. I was in number one. I'll leave it at that. Your life wasn't threatened. Mine was.
Right. So they played there 2 years ago. But didn't they? Was it the COVID?
No. The COVID year was Colt McCoy went there and won. Two years ago, the playoff year, they won. Richie James fumbled two punts and it screwed their game.
Right, that's right. They lost that game because Richie James couldn't hold on to the punt. But I'm trying to think who played in that game that was on this team.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel's probably the only one. And Slayton. So those guys, they thrived in the environment because they're used to it. But a lot of those young kids, they were just kind of like, it's fine. We've been in a loud environment. I'm like, no, you don't know, man.
No, that place is loud. It's loud.
And you know who else? Isaiah Simmons, who blocked the punt, played in Arizona and played there. So he was ready for that
moment. There you go. But it didn't affect him because he's on the defensive side of the ball. But the point is, it's a hostile environment. And the plan to manage it was what I marveled at.
Yeah.
They had plans for every offensive snap, it seemed like. They were succinctly able to get to the alternate play, as opposed to let's try to communicate at the line of scrimmage, which is impossible. And I give him credit for the plan. Dave's outcoached the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about you, Tiki. I went through Dable's whole postgame press conference. Did you, Evan?
What was that?
Did you go through Dable's postgame press conference the way I did? I don't know if Tiki did.
No.
I didn't catch Pat Leonard asking him about his job security.
By the way, that's the most ridiculous thing I heard back then. And you don't need to go there. This team is not that. They're not quitting on their coach.
No.
Like I saw some stupid report last week.
No.
Losing the locker room. What the hell are you talking about?
I think it's quite the opposite right now. I think if you're a Giant fan, you're very excited. You said a few descriptions that actually made me sick. Not because I'm mad about the Giants. I was very happy for you. You talked about being prepared. That was something you said. You talked about how well the quarterback played. That's something you said. And it kills me that on my Sunday morning, in this quadrant of sports insanity, I sat down, again, very uniquely consuming this football game. I did it in my car on my phone 3 hours after it ended because Spence had a fourth birthday party, and I was driving to Philadelphia. And I sat there watching my football team play, the New York Jets. Mm. That's number two in the quadrant of sports insanity. And here's what I saw. I saw a team that was not prepared to play. And I saw a quarterback, and I started this last week, and I'll say it again. Aaron Rodgers is not good enough right now. Aaron Rodgers is not playing well enough right now. You want to tell me it's because he's old? Fine. You want to tell me because he missed a year? Fine. You want to tell me it's the offensive line's fault, even though he literally has the most time to throw that he's ever had in his career? Whatever excuse you want to make, I will just tell you this. I don't care. Because the last 2 weeks, the New York Jets defense did their part.
Right.
The last 2 weeks, the ball was in the hands of the oh-so-great Hall of Fame quarterback, and he did what with it? So I get there's a lot of things if you're a Jet fan to complain about. Robert Saleh, fair. He's a terrible NFL head coach right now. Fair. They can't run the football. Fair. Alan Lazard, 4 drops in this game. Fair. But the number one issue, number one, even more than the head coach, I want you to hear me when I say it. I'm saying it. The number one issue with the New York Jets as they sit at 2-3 is the quarterback. He's not playing well. He threw 3 interceptions, including an interception that was the freaking difference in this game. Here's the problem. As I sat there, as you sat there, as we watched New York Jets football, admit it. Close your eyes. It could have been Zach Wilson. Tell me when I'm saying anything that's not true. Because they played well enough. This defense, for them to win a football game yesterday, and the quarterback failed. He made dumb decisions, and when he had Garrett Wilson open to erase everything I just talked about, he missed him. Now, I think Aaron knows this. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would ever listen to this and be offended. He'd say, well, that weird, awkward schmuck, he's right, because I am right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you the season's over. I'm not giving up. I'm not tapping out. But I'm angry. I'm angry because this guy needs to be better. And he's not good enough. This defense allowed how many points the last 2 weeks? How many points did they allow last week?
10.
How many points did they allow? Yeah, and how many did they allow this week when you take away the pick six by Van Ginkle?
Right.
This is on the offense. And if you agree it's on the offense, then don't tell me about Breece Hall. Don't even tell me about your boy Nate Hackett. It starts and it ends with the quarterback. Yeah. With high praise and high expectations and high compliments come this.
Yeah.
It's on you, bro.
It is. And it's not the same as Zach Wilson. And even though I saw the meme through 5 games of 2023, through 5 games of 2024, it's exactly the same. Same amount of points scored, same record.
Mm.
Probably the same feel because it doesn't feel like we're moving forward. Both teams in this town are 2-3. Which one feels like they have a chance going forward? It's not the Jets, is my point.
I think your phrasing I disagree with, right, but I would say that you're right in terms of who feels better today.
That's not even close. That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Moving forward
means, because I'm not giving up. As angry as I am, Teak, I'm not saying they suck. Blow it off.
Here's the issue with Aaron Rodgers from yesterday. And I watched this game at 6:30 in the morning.
That's right.
West Coast time.
Me and Teaky consume sports in such amazing right. ways. Because we're loyal. That's right. why.
And so, the Van Ginkle interception, I kind of got.
What do you get? Explain that to me.
Because it's all mug. Everybody's in the line of scrimmage. It looks like cover zero. There's no safety. It's 4 guys that are lined up over top of the 4 wide receivers. And in that situation, you cannot block enough. You can't block everybody. The ball has to come out of your hands. So it's a decision for Aaron Rodgers. What's the easiest throw I can make?
Mm.
Which one is most likely to be successful? Out of the 4 guys, it's trips one side and a single wide receiver on the left. Which one is the easiest throw for me? Left is press, probably not a good throw. The safety is covering my tight end. So that's the easiest throw. The problem is that Brian Flores is this like defensive genius this year.
Mm-mm.
And instead of sending the house, he has Andrew Van Ginkle drop out into like a little rat, you know, patrol. Like he just hangs in the middle of the field. And Aaron Rodgers throws it right to him.
But
so he's just fooled. We're just not used to seeing Aaron Rodgers get fooled on stuff like that.
Well, how many times has he been fooled during his illustrious Hall of Fame career like that?
Not a ton.
Okay, so that's tough to accept.
Yes, but I get it. The second interception is a horrendous throw.
Horrendous.
The third interception is a horrendous decision.
Yes.
And that's the one that was worse because the safeties are splitting and he's got his slot. I think it's Lazard who's running a seam. He's open. The throw he threw is not open.
Mm.
And so the last two were bad decisions / throws. The first one, you know what? Tip of the cap. You got me. The last two, and those are the ones that mattered more because they were later in the game, Those are the two that worried me.
And Tiki,
as it pertains to Aaron Rodgers making and executing the right decision.
And the last one, here's the crazy part about the last one. So as I'm sitting there driving to the great city of Philadelphia with my dad, my wife, and my son, and we got the Jet game on, we're on DVR, I haven't been spoiled.
Right.
This is amazing. As the Jets give up the field goal to make it a 6-point game, I turn to all of them and say, this is an iconic opportunity for Aaron Rodgers here. This is his Jet moment.
Yeah.
This is his chance to march down the field, erase every negative and every mistake from the first part of this game, erase everything that bothers you about today, and go put 7 on the board and win this football game.
Yeah.
And here's why I hate myself. Again, I hate myself. I thought he would. Despite the brutal interceptions he threw, I thought he would. Despite every negative we've seen going into this, I thought he would. Up until he threw the interception to seal it, I believed in him.
Right.
And he had a chance, despite all those negatives, to erase everything from that disgusting morning, and he failed. Now, here's the good news, Jet fans. The season's not over. Mm-mm. They're going to play a game a week from today for first place in the AFC East. We all know full well how quickly things can change. The Giants have shown you that. The Mets have shown you that. So I'm not telling you throw in the towel, it's over. Peyton Manning got off to a 2-3 start with Denver. I know. I get it. But in the moment, this sucks.
Yeah.
And in the moment, it's okay for the first time as a Jet fan. It's okay. I give you permission, not that you need mine, to be upset, angry, and disappointed with the hero we were promised.
Because
so far, he hasn't been that.
He hasn't. And in the moment where you think he can win the game, he just doesn't make the throw.
Not yet.
And it was a bad throw. The throws have not been good enough. That's what makes you start saying, well, maybe he's just too old. Maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. And so until we see it consistently, which we haven't, until you see it consistently, as a Jet fan, you're just going to be worried about it.
I'm worried.
Yeah, you should be.
Now, the good news is, a week from tonight, he's got a chance to erase all of that.
Of course.
Go beat the Buffalo Bills on a Monday night, and you're in first place in the AFC East. And I know that my tone and every other tone will change. But over the last 2 weeks, here are the facts. Mm-hmm. Over the last 2 weeks, this defense has played more than well enough for the Jets to win. And their offense, just like every other year, has come up small. The only difference is the quarterback's Aaron Rodgers this year.
Right. And so that makes it feel unacceptable.
Very unacceptable.
It was acceptable when it was Zach Wilson. It was acceptable when it was, Tim Boyle. It was acceptable when it was Chris Streveler. It's not acceptable when it's Aaron Rodgers.
Not at all. Met fans, Yankee fans, we get to you as well coming up. Plus, Met fans, I got news for you that you'll be very excited about. At some point in the next 41 minutes, we are going to give you a chance to be in the building tomorrow, late afternoon, early evening at Citi Field for Game 3 of the National League Division Series. And along with that, not only do you get tickets, you get an invitation. That's right. An Evan and Tiki invitation. Because if you win those tickets, we're going to be here. I'm not going to be at Citi Field tomorrow. You want to know why? Because we're working. We're doing a radio show. And while we're on the air, you are welcome to join us as a stringer from Mets Phillies. You know what a stringer is? It's the person who calls in as the game is going on to say, all right, guys, I'm here at Citi Field. The score is blah, 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 blah. The energy's great. I just kicked a Philly fan. You know, all that. So a chance to win tickets. And we will give you the invitation to then join us throughout the game to give us updates and analysis. Your calls coming up. Jets, Giants, we got a lot to get to with the Mets and the Yankees. The great Joe Beningo will also join us at 4 o'clock. Met tickets this hour. Your chance to be at Citi Field is one of the hottest tickets I've seen at Citi in a very long time. You got a chance to get in. You will hear a cue to call. I don't know what that cue is.
Oh, my God.
Of course it is. And when you hear that, that doesn't count. When you hear that, you're the first caller on our contest line. Boom, you have a chance to go see the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies in the division series and also contribute to our show as the game is going on. We will get to the Mets and the missed opportunity of yesterday. I did experience being in Philadelphia for a playoff game. Mm-hmm. It was very, 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 very different than the experience of 5 months ago. When there were a lot of Knicks fans in Philadelphia for Knicks Sixers, and we as a show were all there. So we'll get to that later on as well. And coming up in the next 10 minutes, the first sign that there is a serious locker room issue with the New York Jets that may need to be addressed. We'll get to that, I promise, coming up at 2:40. But we get your calls. The happy Giant fan, the concerned Jet fan. Where have I heard that before? 888-808-1019. Jack is calling from Muncie. What's up, Jack?
Good afternoon, Evan Tiki. How's it going?
Good, man. Good.
I want to talk about the Giants, specifically Brian Daboll. You guys said, I think it's so ridiculous to call for his job after that week one loss.
Right.
He's proven himself to be disciplined. I don't know if you guys picked up on this. I don't think there was a penalty called against the Giants yesterday, except for that garbage Darius Slayton call.
The gun symbol.
I don't get it.
Well, I think the reason they do that, Jack, is because of all of the school shootings that we've seen.
But he didn't make a gun reference.
But it looks like it could be interpreted that way. And some of these kids, there was one in college. I told you guys about this in our pre-show meeting. It was like egregious. And so
that's different.
And the kid got kicked out of the game. I'm sure he'll get suspended because of how bad it was. But they're trying to point of emphasis it out of the game.
Right.
And so I don't know what to tell you because we've seen this for years and we saw it last night in the Cowboys game, which was delayed forever. stupid because of the
lightning.
Weather. Right. But CeeDee Lamb did it his first catch. So it's ambiguous how they legislate it or police it. But CeeDee Lamb, he's going to get fined.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big fine.
The good news is, on that drive, the Giants scored a touchdown anyway.
Right.
By Darius Slayton.
Yes,
so
exactly.
What I've learned about these penalties and bad calls in general is if you can make it irrelevant, we will move on very easily. But there's something else Brian Daboll did yesterday that showed the discipline that he has with this team. I don't know if you guys caught this, but after the Giants won, there was a live IG.
I saw this.
An Instagram live of the locker room. And everybody was celebrating. I'm trying to remember, who was the player who was hosting it?
Wandell Robinson.
It was Wandell Robinson, who did get in the end zone in this game for a touchdown.
Dropped another pass, though.
He did drop a pass, yes. And his targets weren't exactly as high as maybe he thought it would be, or fantasy owners thought it would be. So Wandell Robinson does a live IG as the Giant locker room's going nuts. And you see at the end of the video an angry Brian Daboll say, quote, "Get that bleep off!"
Right. I love that.
That's a guy who's saying, "I ain't screwing around. I know we won, but we ain't doing that stuff around here."
Why violate the sanctity of that moment? Yeah. I don't get it.
So that because I'm not a Giant fan, but for you as Giant fans, can celebrate with them. That's why I think it's cool to try to do it, but I do also appreciate the head coach saying, "Stop that."
You don't do that. I remember, what was this? You guys remember Vashante Shanko?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tight end.
Tight end. Yep. And he was
a tight end.
Compromised in the locker room during a live video shoot.
Yes, yes.
How's it hanging?
Exactly. To my knee?
That's the risk.
That's why you don't do that.
That's the risk. But he's right. This was a very disciplined team yesterday. I thought we saw the proper guts from Brian Daboll, especially early going forward on fourth and goal from the one, even if it didn't work out, and it turned into a 101-yard return for a touchdown. And you hit on it at the top. They overperformed what we perceived their talent to be going into this game.
Yeah, especially without Malik Nabers and Singletary, who was groin injury and a concussion. And I didn't understand how they would match the production. It actually kind of incentivized them to get everybody involved.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, Theo Johnson had
five catches, which is unheard of for Giant tight ends.
Coming into the game.
Oh, coming in. Yes, yes.
I think as tight ends, they had 10 targets and 5 catches combined.
Right.
And in this game, he had 5 catches. And I contended to you guys last week, why is it so hard to run the football? Well, when you don't throw to the tight end, linebackers are going to play the run exclusively. And so you saw Theo Johnson running free in the second and third levels, which then opened up the run game. It's all like symbiotic. And give Tyrone Tracy a ton of credit because he played phenomenal for a rookie in his first start, getting a bunch of carries and having some really impactful plays.
They couldn't stop him. 18 carries for 129 yards. Not too
bad. That's a big deal.
Lee is on Long Island. What's up, Lee?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up?
So yeah, you had the happy giant call. Now you get the angry jet call.
Yeah,
that's good. I guess you bounce back and
that's
forth.
The way today works. By the way, it's all over the place. Yeah. I love it. Yes.
So I called last week. I said this. I'm going to call again this week and say this. You could just record this and play it every week and just dub in the new team names whoever the Jets play every week. But I said this last week. Aaron Rodgers, at this stage of his career, we cannot be disillusioned. He is an average to below average quarterback. They are not going to have an advantage at quarterback in most of the games they play this year. Very few. In fact, the one advantage they probably had was Bo Nix, and they still didn't win that game.
Right.
So you can.
Here's what I would say. I'm not. I want to respond. I think as of right now, we are 5 weeks into this NFL season. 5 weeks in. You're right. It's been an average quarterback. You'd be a liar or delusional to argue with you about that. Where I hold out hope is that maybe that won't be the whole season. Maybe there will be a moment where Aaron Rodgers reminds us exactly who he is. But through the first 5 weeks, I can't dispute what he's been.
No. And the other thing is, you touched on it with the defense. The only play the Jets defense really couldn't stop yesterday was, I don't know if you guys remember this, Minnesota ran it 4 or 5 times. It's called throw the ball 5 feet over Justin Jefferson's head, and if the defender that breathes on him, throw a PI, it called. It was a brilliant play, and I wish the Jets would incorporate that into their, if they could get the refs on their side to do that.
Sauce had a bad day with the penalties, but I mean,
the DJ Reed call was an embarrassment and should be sent to the league. Some of the calls on Sauce are fair. Like, Justin Jefferson is a great player.
Right.
Sauce is very handsy. I think he's been handsy his whole career, and maybe sometimes he's gotten away with it. So I can't tell you every call on Sauce was bad, but I could tell you the PI against DJ Reed was abysmal. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But credit to Minnesota, when you have a top-end wide receiver like that, a legit number one of number one, yeah, target him 14 times, and even if he only ends up with 6 catches for 92 yards and you get a handful of calls that turn into big yardage gains, why wouldn't you do that?
Of course you would, because, I mean, for the first time this year, Sam Darnold looked pedestrian.
He did.
He didn't. He looked out of sorts. He was missing open throws. He felt, not that he was getting pressured and knocked down a lot, he felt like he didn't have command of what was happening. And that's a testament to the Jets' defense.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if he had been as good or even just close to as good as he had been in the previous 4 weeks, they would have blown out the Jets.
Mm.
But that's the credit you give to the Jets' defense. But you got to get it from the offense as well. And they just didn't with Aaron Rodgers.
Look, it's the opposite of the Giants. It's so opposite day when talking about these two teams. So the New York Giants, forget the final score, destroyed the Seattle Seahawks. Anyone who watched the game knows that. The final
sacks.
Yeah, they kicked their ass. And it felt like the complete, utter opposite in the Jet game where you're looking up saying, I can't believe they're in it. I can't believe they have a shot. Even as the ball was in Aaron's hands for that final drive, I'm like, I can't believe that Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity. He failed at it, but he has an opportunity to erase everything we've seen over the first 2.5 hours, and they can win this game. The problem is he failed, and he hasn't been good enough. And I said this before the season, so I'll say it again today. When this offense isn't good enough, I'm not going to sit here picking on, you know, Olufoshinu, who is bad. I'm not going to sit here picking on Breece Hall, who continues to be bad. And I'm not even going to pick on your boy, Nate. Because the truth about Nate Hackett is that this is Aaron Rodgers' show. This is Aaron Rodgers. So with great promise comes great responsibility.
Of course.
He hasn't been good enough. Now, at what point in a football season do I move from, I'm going to rip him to shreds, but I hold out hope it changes, to he just sucks? I don't know, but we're not there yet. I can't do it 5 weeks into a season.
No, it's still too early, and there's still too many big games, and there's still too much, I think, growth that can happen with this team. Because let's be real, it's only 6 games, not even. It's 5 games, because last year doesn't count. 5 games he's had with this crew, and them understanding him and him understanding them, meaning his receivers and the targets and the how everything works together. And I mentioned that first interception, which was cover zero. You give Van Ginkle a ton of credit for faking it and getting out into the throwing lane. But Aaron Rodgers, when you go back and watch it, and I just showed Evan this, like, he's telling everybody it's okay. It's like, it's okay, I got this. They're bringing 7. We only have 6 to protect. We got this. I'm going to get the ball to you quickly. And he gets back. And he makes an unfortunate throw because he doesn't see Van Ginkle drop back into the slot and then the passing lane. Now, is there a communication issue there? Right? Should there be a different sight adjustment when you have that kind of that kind of pressure coming your way? Likely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those are the type of things that over time, I think, get better.
And that's the hope. Look, the hope is Peyton Manning didn't get off to the greatest start in Denver. Or at least as a team, they didn't. Right. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers sort of did record-wise, but if you watched them, there was something off.
Yep.
The hope is, and luckily this division has allowed them that opportunity, the Buffalo Bills losing to the Texans and Sean McDermott getting confused on how to run clock with 35 seconds to go from his own three-yard line.
Or not run clock at all and leave the Texans with three timeouts.
Right.
And the ball.
Yeah, he's too busy thinking about pregame speeches he can give where he can compare his team to 9/11 terrorists. Yes, I got that in. I try to get that in every time we talk about Sean McDermott because it's an embarrassment that people forget that. Anyhow, they've been given a new life or a new lease on life. Like, despite the frustration you'll hear from me and others, they win Monday. They're in first freaking place.
It's crazy as that sounds.
I'm mad, and I'm going to call out this quarterback who I defended for over a year, because how can I not? I'd be lying to myself. But I also know things can change quickly. I think the Giants are proof of that. The Mets are proof of that. Sports is proof of that. But here's a concern. I want to play some audio from you. This came from the New York Jets locker room right after the game. And it came courtesy of a guy who's probably my favorite player on the team, because if there's one guy who you know will show up every week and leave his guts on the field, it's Quincy Williams.
Yep.
And so Quincy was asked pretty innocuous questions from SNY. And listen to what Quincy says and tell me how you interpret this.
You guys were down 17-0 at one point. You guys battled back to the end. What does it say about this team?
I'm beyond, man. People get tired of hitting the same every week, bro, so people just got to start taking accountability from the top to the bottom. That's the main thing, bro. That's all I got to say for real.
Now, think about this, Tiki. Mm. He was asked a layup question.
Yeah.
Like, which is fair. I understand why you do that. Hey, what does it say about the team? They showed a lot of fight. And Quincy was like, I don't want to hear that bleep.
Right.
And who do you think he's talking about in that clip?
I think everybody. I mean, he doesn't want to call out anybody, so he's talking about everybody. And so it'd be reckless of me to speculate who he's alluding to. But we know where they're playing really well, and that's on their side of the ball.
Mm.
I mean, even with those pass interference penalties and Sam Darnold moving the ball into scoring position, like they didn't break. In fact, they held when they needed to in a lot of times. This game could have gotten away from them very easily, and it didn't. And so that's a testament to their defense, but they just, like, they're not a complete team yet. Doesn't feel like all facets of their offense, defense, special teams are playing collectively together. And that's what he's calling out. Not anyone individually. It's just the entire feel of that team right now.
Quincy's asked a second question, and Quincy again goes back to the same thing.
What's the mentality of this team right now?
Like I said, people got to start taking accountability, bro. People get tired of hitting the same thing every week.
For you, what do you need to work on?
I'm tired of saying the same thing every week. For me, I need to start working on being a leader more.
Well, I like the fact that he's saying what he needs to do more, because the truth is Quincy Williams is freaking awesome. And here's the truth, and this is why what I hear is a little different. And maybe it's because I was never asked the questions as a player. That's why I hear different things. I hear Quincy Williams screaming for help. I hear Quincy Williams saying the same thing that brought apart the Jet locker room back in 2016 when Brandon Marshall wanted a fight. I forget who it was on defense. I think it was Sheldon Richardson. I heard Quincy Williams say, we allowed 10 points against the Broncos and we lost. We allowed 16 points to the Minnesota Vikings, who offensively were putting up gaudy numbers every single week. They put up 31 on Green Bay, 34 on Houston, and we as a defense held them to 16 points, and we lost. So what I hear from Quincy Williams is, this offense sucks and it needs to be better. That's what I heard from him, and I know that he shouldn't say that, but we're all thinking it. This is the same crap we've seen for 2 years.
Yeah.
A defense that's good enough and an offense that's limp.
And it's unfortunate, because the reason it's mostly limp is your quarterback.
I know. And it's
that's the problem. If there was someone else you could blame, I think it'd make you feel better as a Jet fan. But because I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That guy is replaceable, or we can think about a solution for that specific position. But because it's the quarterback who's had the issues these last couple of weeks, it's like you're just stuck with it until he figures it out.
Right. Right, and the hope is he figures it out, but it's all based on hope. You know, I understand if you're a Jet fan saying, you know what, screw it, I think he's cooked. You know, I used to argue with Sean about his last year in Green Bay. He did not have a great year. And my argument back to Sean was, look, he wasn't healthy. I don't think that's who he is. And, oh, by the way, if he is that, I think it'll be good enough for the New York Jets to win games anyway. So far, it's only five games. I don't even think he's been as good as that guy.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It hasn't been good enough. And, yes, I'll admit before you bring it up, is the thought in the back of my mind, that's just it. Like, oh, he's old and he's cooked, and we had warning signs 2 years ago. Sure, it's in the back of my mind. I'm not ready to say it yet because I don't think it's fair after five games, but I'm frustrated. And I don't know how, as a Jet fan, you aren't.
Yeah, and by the way, low ankle sprain, don't sleep on that. How's his mobility going to be the next couple weeks, too?
Well, you know what? He's getting a lot of time to throw. Aaron Rodgers right now is reading this new gen stat this morning, has had the most time to throw in his NFL career.
Wow, is that right?
That's right.
Huh.
And where are the results? And let's get back to happy Giant fans. We're gonna have that balance. And, of course, a lot of baseball to get to as well. You have your chance to win Met tickets this hour coming up. The Mets are 1-1 in their series. The Yankees are 1-0 against KC. I promise you we're covering everything over the next 4.5 hours. Bill is calling from Brick. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. How you doing? A long time no talk. First of all, as usual, thanks for keeping us entertained. I'm on a first time delivering the mail. You make the day go by. It's fantastic, man.
We appreciate it.
I was holding this question for Tiki because I told my brother last I was watching the Giant game. And I noticed, I don't know if you guys saw the last play, obviously, where they blocked the field goal.
But Tiki
probably better answer this question as a player. Because I looked at number 97. Looks like 97. Instead of standing up, the Seattle interior lineman,
yeah.
It was a coordinated effort. He actually pushed him down so his other player can jump. Does that happen to Does that play get called as a coordinated play? Because I thought it was brilliant.
Well, so it was interesting because Jason McCourty brought this up. He did a lot of special team stuff over the course of his career, and so he was aware of what was happening. And so Lincoln Tomlinson, who is the right guard for the Seahawks on their field goal unit, didn't recognize that there was a non-big body right in that gap. He didn't recognize that it was Isaiah Simmons. And so in his mind, he is just cutting the big guy. Get my head down and cut the big guy. And what happened is that he gets his head down into the ground, and Isaiah Simmons jumps through there.
Mm.
So from my angle, because we're looking from a side view, I thought originally he jumped over the center,
right,
which is illegal. You can't jump over the center. And so right after the touchdown is scored, the Giants basically put the game away with a 9-point lead. We had Gene Steratore, who is our rules official, come in. And the first thing I asked him, I was like, Gene, did he jump over the center, implicating that that's illegal?
Right.
And Gene said no, because he was off center. It was in the gap over the guard as opposed to over the center. It's a legal play. But the challenge of doing that is that you got to first jump, then you got to land, and then jump again.
Right.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Like, most people can't do that.
Like, Isaiah Simmons is like a freaky athlete.
He's a freak athlete.
That.
And it was a perfectly, Gobriel's our special teams coordinator, perfectly conceived punt field goal block. Because the guard and the center didn't realize, the long snapper didn't realize that it was Isaiah Simmons in that gap, which is something's happening here.
Yeah.
Right? Why would he be in there to grind with the offensive guard? He wouldn't. He's there for a reason. And they executed it perfectly and sealed the game, ultimately won the game for him.
That was a badass play. But as Jason Myers was lining up for that field goal, the thought I had in my head, and I'm curious if Giant fans had the exact same thought. Hmm. Obviously, you want Jason Myers to miss or have it blocked, and then the game's over. Simple as that. But I'm thinking to myself, even if he makes this field goal, the Giants are going to get the ball back, and they're going to score.
Right. They've moved up and down the field all day.
They had enough time. Like you said, they've been moving up and down the field. I know Greg Joseph wasn't drilling really long field goals, but he was 3 for 3, a 24-yarder, a 31-yarder, a 38-yarder.
He's solid. He's solid.
But he was fine.
Right. When he hits a 58-yarder, then we'll say, this kid is pretty great.
Absolutely.
But he's not there yet. He's just solid.
But I thought, even if they make the field goal, there's enough time.
Right.
Giants are going to win this game anyway. I thought going into that drive, when Seattle got the football back with a minute 40 to go, two timeouts, it was simply, in my mind, keep him out of the end zone.
Yeah.
You keep him out of the end zone, you're going to win. Even if they kick a field goal. Now, look, if they kick a field goal and there's no time left and it goes to overtime, obviously at that point, then you never know. You're dealing with the luck of the coin and then, you know, who gets it, all that crap. But I really thought as he lined up, I didn't feel like the game was on the line. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
They get the ball back, they'll score.
It ties the game, but it felt like they were going to win.
Yeah. They dominated the Seattle Seahawks. Yes. And I'm stunned by that. And I think a lot of Giant fans are. Let's go to Anthony in Trumbull, Connecticut. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Evan Tiki, how are you?
We're good.
What's up, man? What's up?
Listen, just I landed JFK about 45 minutes ago, came back from London. So, Tiki, I actually talked to you a couple of years ago. I took my six-year-old. You were still on in earlier hour. I took my six-year-old to Seattle.
Okay.
And we called you on the way home from the airport, and now he's in the car next to me coming home from London. I feel bad. I take the kid on two trips, and they lose both games. here's one of my gripes. And, Tiki, I think you – no offense, Evan, but I think, Tiki, you might have a better feel for this.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. I'm not offended by that.
And Evan, you said it completely. You said, you know, you look up, and I even said the same thing. I looked up, I'm like, God, as bad as they're playing, they're only down 10. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when they get to that 4th-and-1, and I'm saying to myself, isn't the hardest point to get in NFL your first points? I said to myself, take the 3. The offense is struggling. You take the 3, and you say to yourself, man, we're one play away from tying this game. And I know there's a lot of game to be played.
Right.
But you get those 3 points on the board, and you say, okay, now we got a little something. We got a little momentum. You know, they went for it, one thing. But then the other thing that bothers me is the play that they called. Rodgers was out of the shotgun, and Braylon Allen was 4 yards behind him.
Yeah.
Braylon Allen essentially needed to get 9 yards on a 4th-and-1 play, and he got stuffed. And Minnesota was doing a great job. I don't know if technically they were run blitzing, but they were doing a really good job of stopping the run at that point. And I just felt like, you know, it goes back to this complicating things like 4th-and-1, like
from the pistol where the running back is behind the quarterback. And you know,
if you want to put a blocker, you put a blocker as a fullback or something like that. But I don't know. My first thought take the point.
Right.
Well,
and they probably should have. You're right about that. And the challenge with going for it on 4th down.
And it was 4th and 2 as well.
Right, right.
Like, it was a lot to get. It wasn't 4th and inches.
Right, but the challenge of that with a non-mobile quarterback is that the defense has the man advantage.
Mm.
Whereas if the Giants are going for it on 4th and 1, the Giants have an advantage because now the defense has to think about at least guarding the 6th skill position player, which is the quarterback, right? Wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, and then the quarterback. If you have to defend the quarterback, you attack differently because you're not committing everybody to one spot. The Jets don't have that advantage. So going for it on 4th down, it better be the perfect call and perfectly executed.
So the play call sucked. Let's just start with that. I think we'd all agree.
It wasn't a good play call.
It was not a good play call.
No.
So, number one, horrible
play. By the way, a lot of people don't have good 4th-down play calls. Look what the Seahawks did.
No, I get you. Oh, yeah, with Brian Burns, like, assaulted Geno Smith.
Right.
No, you're right. A part of it is not just going for it. That's half the battle. The other half is, okay, what are you designing?
Yes.
So, the play call sucks, we all agree. As far as going for it was concerned, here was the conundrum I had. This was the thought. I think I was talking to myself at this point. What I said at the moment was, you know, under normal circumstances, it's 10-0.
Uh-huh.
It's the second quarter. Just understand where we are in this game.
Yep.
I kick a field goal and I make it a 1-possession game. That's my gut.
That's a smart thing to do.
It's a smart, prudent, sort of conservative thing to do. I got trust that Greg Zuerlein's going to make the field goal. I think it's about a 48-yarder, something around that area, maybe 50-yarder. So it's not a chip shot, but that's my gut. But then the other side of me says, hold on a second. My quarterback is Aaron Bleepin' Rodgers. Why is he here? Like, I always think back, it's such a weird moment, but Paul Pierce was traded to the Nets, and he had a game-winning shot in his first playoff game.
Yeah.
And he screamed, this is why I'm here. And that resonated with me, even though he was a complete failure outside of that.
The Nets still in the league.
This is why he's here. It's a great line.
Yeah.
Forget who said it. I apologize for even giving you the context. This is why he's here. 4th quarter, down by 6, ball in. This is why he's here. Field goal game, 4th quarter, Denver. This is why he's here. So on 4th and a long 2, my brain says kick the field goal, get the points. But then the other side of my brain says, why is he here? He's here for the ball to be in his hands so he can make a play.
Yeah.
And what do the Jets decide? They decide whether it's Nate, whether it's, I don't know who the hell decided it. Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the pistol formation, and he's going to hand the football off. Granted, to Braylon Allen, I'm glad it was to him over Breece Hall, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so that's the conundrum I faced, if I'm giving you my real-time thought on what they should do.
Yeah, the challenge, I mean, so I'm just going back and looking at this play now, and I'm looking at the third down play, which was third and three.
Yeah.
So they run a gap scheme, meaning a puller. Bates, as Ruckert and Bates are supposed to block Zero, the linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings. They both whiff on him. If they hit him, then Braylon Allen is running on the safety.
Right.
Right? So it's a big play. So in your mind, you come back and you say, man, if we had just executed. So it's not play call. Like, everybody wants to talk about play call. Oh, the play calling was terrible. No, it's the execution is terrible.
Can it be both, though?
No, because
why?
Because when I look at this play, the third down play, and then I'll get to the fourth down play in a second. The third down play is a gasher. It's a 10-yard gasher. If it's just executed correctly, just block the guy you're supposed to block. Puller, don't get too fast, and run around the guy that you're supposed to kick out, and Braylon Allen goes, he gets 10 yards at least. And then on the second play, they're running a split zone. So split zone is offensive line goes.
This is the fourth down play.
This is the fourth down play.
Okay, go.
Offensive line goes one way. Usually a tight end comes back and kicks out the back, away from them, kicks out the end, right? And so on this fourth down play, it's the same situation. You get the tight end running across to block the edge and doesn't even touch him. Doesn't touch him. And again, if you don't want to hit a dude, just raise your hand and say, "Coach, I'm not tough enough. I'm not gonna hit anybody."
Who was it?
It's Bates, 84, Bates, the tight end.
Oh, okay.
If
he's a blocking tight end.
He needs to raise his hand and say, "Hey, Coach, I'm not good enough to hit anybody."
Right.
Because in two consecutive plays, he whiffs. Not even yelling back, "Hey, look out, Braylon." Not even giving him a lookout block. He completely whiffs. So to me, this is not play call. The play call is right. It's if they execute it. It's a first down.
But isn't that a lot with play calling where it's about execution? Because in theory, you have a play that you think is going
to
work.
But I think this gets back to what Quincy is talking about. Like, I'm tired of the excuses. I'm tired of the lack of accountability. If you don't want to block somebody on two consecutive plays on third and fourth down in the red area, then you don't need to be on this team. Period. That's what should be being talked about in the Jets locker room today, because these are opportunities to make plays. You need one or two people to do their jobs correctly, and you get first downs. You're in better position to score. And so I have a problem only because I played the game and I know how important it is to be able to execute. And when you get the play call, Sean Payton used to say this all the time. I know this is the right call. You bleep the bleeps just aren't executing it right.
Right.
And if you don't like what I'm calling, blank and fire me. Right? And if I'm Nate, I'm saying that. If you don't like what I'm calling, fire me.
Okay.
Because right now,
but let me ask you this.
It's actually you guys not executing what I'm calling.
So let me ask you this then. Brendan Bates, who we never talk about because he's a blocking tight end,
right,
failed because you watched the tape. I think I knew.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, then let me ask you this, though. If he fails on third down because it looks like he doesn't want to block, why are you running a play on fourth down where he's involved in it then?
Because when you're in you have to trust what you have. You have to trust the tool that you have. Who said this one time? Spike said this, actually.
Spike?
It was
screw
amazing.
Him.
He was talking about whatever. I don't remember what he was talking about.
He said,
"It's a fool who blames his tools for failure."
Right.
And you have your tools. I have to use them. That's all I have. Right. This is the right play. I'm using the tools. If it fails, it's on me. But the tool failed.
Despite the tool failing. Despite the Jets not scoring on that play, the ball was still in the hands of Aaron Rodgers in the final 2 minutes where they could have won the football game.
Yes, of course.
They still could have overcome it and won the game.
And again, you know what that was? Execution.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers failed to execute at a high level.
Well, if they continue to fail to execute, the season will be executed. Is that good? Are you proud of me there, Sean?
Yeah, it's good.
I like that.
Yeah, there we go. Giant fans are happy. Jet fans are pissed off. When we come back, Met fans seem to be happy. And I got to tell you, it's been less than 24 hours since I left that filthy city. I'm not happy. We'll have a discussion on why coming up. We'll mix in Giants, Jets, Yankee fans. We'll get to you as well. A lot going on during this quadrant of sports craziness. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019.